somebody out.
All right. This is the Meanwhile Podcast. This is Kelvette, your host, and I'm here with the Insecuties. That's the name I made up for us when we do the podcast about Insecure. But this is the Meanwhile Podcast, and this is a podcast to discuss anything that's going on in your meanwhile. And today we are going to be discussing Insecure. I'm here with Tiffany.
Chip.
Erinette.
What up?
Lynette.
Hola.
Et and Tiff. So we're going to talk about Insecure, the last two episodes, because you know how we do. We always miss a week. Because we have lives, right? So the last episode was low key done. Season 4, episode 6. And I didn't really like love this episode, but it had its highs and lows.
I liked it. I really felt that it showed Issa just being with Issa. I really liked the, I don't know if we can get into it right now, but there was a couple.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. We can jump around.
That I did like where she was like, well, she's supposed to go out and do things for herself. But she ended up meeting up with a group of girls and she thought, okay, maybe, you know, I'm making new friends. It's the thing to do, until she found out these girls played her all the way to the left. And that thought that she had in her head when she hit that girl over the head with that pain, and I was like, yes.
That's
and
every
flash back to reality. I was like, Dad, you need to go ahead and do it. I thought
she really did it. I was like, what? But let's go back in our time machine and let's see why Erinette likes this episode, because I'm on the fence about it. I just didn't know about the energy. You know, I didn't know if it was like because she was so bummed out. I don't know why I was like, boy, it just didn't have the heat that I was looking for. So the episode starts off with Issa talking on the phone, checking her messages about everything that happened at the block party the night before. And everything was really positive. Like, everybody seemed to like what they heard. They were like, wow, we're so proud of you. Where'd I get that chicken? Who was that performer? It seemed like it was going to be a really good episode, but Issa seemed down. And at this point, Issa, Kelly calls. Kelly calls, and Issa doesn't pick up, so she's just checking messages. And she goes out. She went to the supermarket. And, first she talked in the mirror. Her in the mirror, they had a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, her and the mayor had a conversation. And the conversation pretty much was about how Issa gotta get on her, get on.
It was about how she didn't reach out to Molly. She was like, why should I reach out first? I always reach out.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So, and I think that was the conversation she was having with herself in the mirror at that time. Like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to do me today. You know, let her reach out to me first instead of me always reaching out to her.
Exactly. And I love how you put that, because I really thought that one of the issues that Issa was having was that she wasn't expressing herself to Molly. And it ended up being that I think that she shouldn't have. I do think it was too soon. They just got in a really big fight, and I think sometimes people need to
cool off, simmer down.
Absolutely. We have this thing that we talk about with when people get upset, we say time and space. Give people time and space to kind of cool down, you know, because they had just finished arguing. You know, last night was probably one of their biggest fights they've ever had. But like I said, Issa and Molly fight hard though. Like, even the very first episode of the whole series, Issa and Molly fought hard. They fight hard. So, yeah. You know, they kind of love hard and they, you know, they kind of get along hard, you know. So then Issa goes out and she goes to the supermarket. And at this point, she sees this woman trying to get somebody to pay for her groceries. And time out. Has anybody ever seen somebody actually trying to pay for somebody's groceries?
No, but I have been in a situation where someone didn't have enough money on their card to get what they wanted. And I looked at what he was, he had to be a teenager. He was getting some donuts and like some chocolate milk. So I was like, you know, just go ahead and put that on me. I got you. And that was it. But she had like formula. You know, that formula is like $50 a canister. That stuff is locked up at the grocery store.
Yes, yes. If I was on supermarket sweep, I would get the formula because it's a high-priced item, you know? If you get three things of formula, you win the money. Oh, wait. How much is it, Lynette? Lynette, no. How much
and not, is it? And not, I don't know. I don't do formula.
Okay.
But it's like sometimes, I think it's like $15 a can. But even still, like, even if she get, I was thinking, like, why she like 15 months pregnant and getting formula? How many kids has she really got at the house? Like, how many kids she got at the house? That's what I was trying to
say. She had some diapers in there. It was some formula.
Right.
I saw like a Colt 45.
Like, she was throwing her own baby shower in a grocery store, asking everybody for donations to her upcoming child. Like, what is that? What's really going on right now? What is really going on? You have 50,000 kids at the house? I'm just curious.
Right.
At least 50,000.
But yeah. I was like, even with this episode, it was just a harsh reality for her too. I think Issa was realizing, like, you know, after all of this stuff that I did, I'm still empty. Like I don't have friends now. Yeah. I don't have money. I poured my entire self into this project. It was a success, but I'm still failing in that life. It made it seem that way. And that also talks about being famous too. Like sometimes being famous is not all what it's cut out to be. And I think that was a reflection of that too. Like just in reality, like you have this facade of having all this glitz and glamour, but you're just completely empty because you don't have those things that are value to your life, and that's family and friends, and have, you know what I mean, have that love and camaraderie. She didn't have that at the time, so I thought that was like,
didn't have anyone to, I'm sorry to interject, but it was like,
no, you're fine,
backing off of that, it's like she didn't have anyone to share that with, or you mm-hmm. know, be excited that all of that just happened. She just had a huge fight with her best friend, her sister, her soror. You know, they ain't really sorority sisters, but you know, that's how close they were.
Right.
And she can't lavish in that her accomplishment with somebody that's, you know, been there with her through it. So
yeah, it just really sucked.
Yeah.
It was super unfortunate because, you know, she did, like, yeah, everything that you said, I echo it. Like, that was a beautiful event, and it just didn't, you couldn't feel that because of the way that it ended.
Right. So can I ask a question real quick?
This is
going back to episode 5. Did somebody, I don't know if we talked about this, I don't remember, but did somebody have a gun, or were they referring to Issa and Molly fighting?
I think they were referring to Issa and Molly fighting, and they thought that they had a gun. But there was no gun.
It was weird. I was like, I think people was just screaming because, you know, you're in a crowd and, you know, it's like when they used to play Hay in the Middle of the Barn at the club. It was always a fight, no matter what. If they played Hay in the Middle of the Barn, somebody was getting hit with a chair.
But I feel like they were trying to say that they're, I think they just assumed that the word gun came out of somebody's mouth. So instead of investigate, you know, we don't investigate anything.
No, we don't.
Run. Exactly. we get out of there. We find out what happened tomorrow.
Exactly.
Or later, or down the grapevine, or on social media. I'm about to have to figure find out. Shoot. You crazy. and be on the Cleveland Memorial page. No, ma'am.
Wait a minute. I just learned about that 2 days ago.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It tore my heart out. They have all these, like, car crashes and all these memorials. I did not know about that. The Cleveland Remembrance page one or something. I was like, oh, my goodness. Stress. Yeah. Stress. You will be on there for 3 days. Super Don't ever go on there. You'll be on there for 3 days.
Sidebar. Everybody, people be complaining about that thing because they be putting up deaths before families be knowing about it.
That's what they said.
Yeah, oh, it's crazy.
Oh,
it's like,
I hate it.
It's like they got a connection with the police department or something. They be telling folk business.
Oh, my goodness.
All bad.
Crazy. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it till a couple days ago. Yeah, so
even though this episode was a little lackluster, it still had a little insight on where mentally Issa was.
I appreciate that.
I think that, like, the events that they have, like, here in LA, like, Black events, they're really nice. So it's like they have, like, the Taste of Soul. They have, like, a whole bunch of just little things that happen in Leimert Park and Inglewood. And those areas are super nice. Like, people don't realize it because they don't think it's necessarily Beverly Hills or whatever, but it's actually really nice. I love Leimert. I would love to live down that way. And they have some wonderful events, some wonderful coffee shops. So I thought that that was kind of a good reflection of the events that you have that Issa threw.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
Aaron, that you opening that door sounded like a scary, spooky movie.
I'm sorry, that was me.
Oh, that was Lynette. Why you got a horror movie going on in your bedroom?
Sorry. I need a little TLC.
It's like the murder episode where they were like, I was like, oh, gosh.
My bad.
It's okay. So, so Issa then goes, she on the street driving her car, and she see that man, he missed the bus, and Issa, her heart is in the right place. Once again, I never would pick somebody up off the street if I didn't know him. Unlike Tiff, who one time at 3 o'clock in the morning, we was driving home from a party, and Tiff literally almost picked up a woman off the street, and she would have picked her up if I hadn't been following her and pulled up next to her and was like, please don't pick up that woman off the street.
But you know what? You know what I think, though?
What?
I think that she was trying to prove a point in all of these good, quote unquote.
Well, what was Tiff doing? What was Tiff doing? Why was she trying to pick up that woman?
Tiff was being Tiff. But she was trying to prove Molly wrong, because Molly pretty much told her that she was selfish in more ways than one, and she was trying to prove a point. Well, no, I could do for other people. I don't use people. So let me see how I can help other people and prove to them that I don't use people like she trying to say I do.
Oh, right. My gosh, you are nailing it. Because I did not see any of this.
Yeah,
I did not see any of this.
Because if you noticed in a grocery store, her reflection was telling her, don't help that woman. The same thing in a car. Right. The reflection in the rear view was telling her, don't pick that man up. You don't need to prove it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you notice that every time she did something, it failed. Like, her good deed failed every time because it wasn't genuine.
When she brought that man to his son, he was like, "Dad, I don't think he has seen his
He
son.
Looked mad. He didn't look he like he wanted
mad.
Him there.
He was
like, I felt "Dad, like, it wasn't was like Dad. Oh my gosh, what are you doing here? It's such a great surprise." No, he was like, "Dad, why are you here? Anybody call you? You didn't. You have to call before you come."
He pulled that picture out of his pocket, and it felt real heartfelt. That picture was all crinkled up. He was like, "Yeah, this is the house." And then he walked slowly to the door. And then someone was like, "Dad?"
why
are you here?
I don't know.
Right.
I think
that old man
excited
said he used
to
be
this.
Bopping around the town with his friends. So.
And he was so mean. He was so mean for somebody that's doing a favor.
I have a real question. Where did he get that fun dip? Where did he get that fun dip?
Next door.
When he went into
the laundromat.
She was like, "Is that a fun dip?
Right.
Is that a fun dip?"
Of all things to get out the vending machine, your old self get a fun dip.
That's weird. I loved it. I said, yeah.
that is definitely a child's candy. It's not for grown old adults.
A grown old man.
Right.
And that's exactly what he is. But that was like
we had a serious conversation with her in the car about him and his friends. Like all hung out. This is what we did. He said so and so found crack. So and so, you know, did this. But he was saying there's always signs. And that also made Issa reflect, like, could I have seen the sign? Like, did I miss the sign? You know, as far as between her and Molly. So.
That's good. Yeah, I definitely think she was ignoring those signs. I mean, there were signs all over the place that things just weren't right. And they just kept ignoring them and kept ignoring them. And, you know, then finally things came to the head that they did. And it just really sucked.
Yeah.
Do you believe in signs?
I believe yeah, red flags.
Absolutely.
They're flags. I believe so.
Absolutely. But you choose to whether acknowledge them or to ignore them. There's always signs.
Facts. So Issa then went to a paint and sip, and she ended up getting sat with these three girls that were visiting a friend that was getting married, but they were all from the DMV Maryland area. People from Maryland, they, you know what?
PG County.
Pretty Girl County. Pretty Girl County.
Prince George.
I had no idea that PG called themselves Pretty Girl County. It made me want to get a sew-in and get my nails done when I heard them say Pretty
what
Girl
is
County.
PG County?
Prince George County. That's where they live.
Oh, that is Prince George.
I think that's probably where Kim lived. Our cousin Kim.
I applied for a job there one time.
You did? Apply again.
No, not right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't do it. PG baby. So she sat down with these girls, and then you got Carla Pratt, you know, proud family sitting there with
yes.
you.
Kyla, you know, perhaps.
Yes, proud family. She's a sweet girl, and they yes. was painting. The one girl painted a picture of some cactus wieners, you know. So it seemed like a nice night, and then the girls asked Issa. They asked her to come with them. To get some
drinks.
But the problem is she blew herself up. They thought she had money because of the way she had advertised herself. Like they asked her what she did, and she was like, oh, well, you know, I did this, talk about her event. And they're like, oh, so you got the plug.
The fact.
You got the hookup.
The fact.
Blah, blah, blah. So it made it seem like she had a dough. So they was like, oh, this is the perfect person to do this diner dash on because she got money. She can cover it, it won't be a problem.
You are blowing my mind. I did not see any of this. I thought that they were just following the sheet. I was like, oh, they're just following the sheet. I didn't even realize that they were like, oh, she shared her wine. She came with us to dinner. She
but
worked with all these celebrities.
It's not expensive. That's the cheapest wine you can get in the freaking grocery store.
But
But
she was sharing. But she was sharing. So I think that's what I thought. I didn't even think of that. So they thought that she was showing off.
Yeah.
Y'all nailed it. Y'all was watching this episode with a magnifying glass, getting all the details, honey.
But you know, you had to watch it to find some entertainment into it because it was very flat. So I had to pay attention to details to get some insight on it.
I can't even tell you. Y'all was three clicks on the home button on the iPhone to get a magnify feature. I was like, wow, I had no idea. No, I was not watching it like y'all were.
See, I don't think it was flat. I think it played out exactly the way it should, so you can pay attention to detail.
Maybe that's true. Like, yeah, too much entertainment, you may miss the points.
Yes, if it's a lot going on, you're going to be like, okay, what did I miss? But here, you actually paying attention, and it's not so many, it's just about Issa. You know what I'm saying? You don't have other characters in here to, like, take you away from what happened the scene before.
Well, actually, right. Molly does come in the episode, you know, so.
The very last.
So she ends up, Issa ends up going to the bathroom. And when they go to the bathroom, the girl was asking her questions. I thought she was sincerely being like, so where's the hot spots? Where can we meet guys?
Oh, no.
And next thing you know, she left.
So I instantly knew that was a setup. Instantly. She was talking too damn much. You don't talk to nobody in a bathroom like that that you ain't close to. No. She was talking right. too much.
I didn't know that the setup was coming like that.
I said, these heifers, when she didn't hear nothing, I said, these heifers gone.
Dang. No. Never. Never. I thought she got abducted with LaToya. Okay? I had no idea where she was. I had no idea. I was in shock. I'm still in shock. Like, I would never do that to somebody.
But especially somebody you don't know. Or even if it's somebody you didn't know, I still would do it. Like, but it just makes it puts an extra, like, how dare you on somebody you don't even know. And it's your black sister. That I was offended.
Yes. So she goes back to the table and they left her with the bill. And they seemed to ate a lot of food. I think they was getting extra drinks and salads and, you know, and Issa, we know she didn't even have $150 on that card, so she had to use that other credit card.
Dang. That hurt. I was like, dang. She couldn't even help the lady in the store. And it's like, she did all this helping people and still got played that day.
She just kept getting the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And even the girl in the grocery store dogged her. I'm like, she tried to help you, but nobody in that line helped you.
The blessing, what I got from you was perspective. I was like, geez.
I wanted to say, you better be glad somebody trying to help your old pregnant behind with 50 kids at the house.
Right.
Girl, bye.
Exactly. I'm right there with you.
All that stuff you had, you going down the line. Everybody in that line asking them to help, ain't nobody try except this one person, and you got the nerve to have a little smart comment afterwards because her stuff didn't work. How about you have your own money next time, B? True.
Okay. Right. You need to be on WIC if you're pregnant anyway.
Hello, it's free right now. Okay, everybody can get it if you got a kid.
And I can't. That's the closest Lynette ever came to cussing, y'all. She don't even cuss. She almost did.
I don't. I almost did because that was it. I was annoyed.
She was four letters away from cussing. She almost cussed.
Molly makes me cuss a lot.
let's hustle through a little Issa. So Issa gets on the phone and she's like, I need you. Can I come over? And all of a sudden, everybody was like, ooh, she probably going to see Lawrence or Nathan or Molly.
Yes, I ain't gonna lie. That was me.
That was you?
That was me.
So we pull up.
I thought she was going to see Nathan.
She runs into the arms of Delilah.
Her mama.
Her mother. Yeah. And that was interesting.
That was refreshing.
This show gives you so much foreshadowing. They will foreshadow you to death. If Issa learned one thing in school, it was how to foreshadow. Because we had never seen the mother before. And then they finally gave her to us. And she played the part wonderful. Like, I really thought
she... No, we saw her mom when they went to the cookout with her and her brother.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was the first... They gave you a little bit, but you've never seen her before that. So you knew she was coming back. You were like, oh, she's coming back. Oh, she's coming back. So, Delilah...
She played on the game, sidebar.
She was on the game. That's Piggy from the Steve Harvey Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she was on the game for a long time.
She's a good girl. But Issa's mom gave her some positives and she hugged her. And I will say that when they hugged, I cried because I ain't been hugged since Corona started. Except today I got hugged by a stranger in the hallway. So I probably got the virus. So I'm stressed. I'm lightweight stressed.
You should have gave him the
hug. I didn't give him a hug. He gave me a side hug. God. And I was like, I almost screamed. I was so freaked out.
Did you burn your clothes after?
I didn't. I took those clothes off, but they were sweaty. He just, strangers. People crazy.
Stranger danger.
Yeah.
When Issa mama wanted to hug her and they hugged and Issa was crying, I was like, I felt that. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Because that's the first time Issa ever showed that type of emotion. I don't think I've ever seen her cry.
No.
Have you?
No. Issa don't cry.
No.
So,
even when her and Lawrence went south, she didn't cry like that.
She was emotional, but she did not cry. You're right.
Yeah.
So her mom said that she admires Issa and it was just what Issa needed to hear. And I really appreciate that. So Issa then leaves her house, and her and Kelly talk on the phone, and Kelly like, did you call Molly? And she's like, no, are you giving her the same energy? And Kelly was like, yeah. And I was like, that's a good friend, because Kelly really is trying to keep all the friends together. You know, everybody got that one friend that's a connector. Tiff is a connector. You know, she got friends from when she actually got friends from the neonatal unit when she was in the hospital as a preemie. You know, so Tiff never let go of a friend. If she gonna be your friend, she your friend for life. Me, if I met you, I don't even know you anymore. Okay, so
what?
You're a connector. Value friendship.
What are you talking about?
You're a connector. You still keep in touch with the babies from the neonatal unit when you was born.
Mm-mm. That's messed up, man.
Excuse me, preemie.
No.
Tiffy was a preemie.
Yes, she was.
Said no.
Yes, she was. She was a preemie.
No.
Wow.
She was weird too. She was a weird baby. When she was a baby, she was always crying. She was like, and I was like, oh goodness, get that baby out of here. I tried to get rid of it. I was like, put that baby. I didn't like it. And she was light skinned. I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, oh boy.
clearly that was just because she was in the womb.
I was like, oh boy.
I'm so dumb.
Right. Try to wear
a blonde wig. Some. Okay. I might cut that part. Just kidding. Y'all know I don't edit this podcast. Okay, so Issa then goes home, finishes off self-care Sunday with a little bit of weed. She was hitting that weed. It looked like it was some indica. Oh, no, it was probably a hybrid. It looked like it probably was a hybrid. So mm-hmm. She was hitting some weed, and that she was dancing in the kitchen, and then she got hungry. So she went to the Ethiopian spot. And yes. When she got to the Ethiopian spot, Molly was there. Yeah.
Listen, one thing next time you're in LA that we have to do is go to that Ethiopian spot.
You been there?
Because... Well, no, I've been told to go there because that's a spot. And it's like, and it's one of the places where you eat with your hands and they give you a specific type of bread. And it's like it's a wide, long, flat bread that you use like a spoon. And I think you would like that because, A, you like to eat with your hands anyway.
I don't.
But this is just cultural. Right.
That's offensive.
Well, hopefully by next year we can start eating with our hands again. Shame. We can't be doing that right now.
Tiff trying to throw shade, but whatever.
Whatever. You said I was a preemie.
You were.
Well, I like using my hands when I do boils, so I don't like using forks. I like getting in there with them fingers. I wash before and after.
Nobody questioning you.
So this episode ends with Issa hopping in the car. What happened at the end, Aaronette? What happened at the end? I don't even remember.
She saw.
She saw Molly sitting at the bar.
Yeah, turn back
looking on her phone, and she was like, "I'm good," and went and got in the car.
That was it. That was the end.
That was the end.
It was over.
But that's how the next episode started that way.
Well, mm-hmm. Let's hop into that. Let's roll right into it.
Roll right into it.
Roll it.
Yeah, let's talk about Messy Molly.
No, but what's this? It's episode 7. Low key,
balcony sex.
Low key, who cares? Cause Messy Molly's in the scene.
Why do you hate Molly with all your heart?
I don't hate her. I just have a strong dislike.
Tripping.
That's
what is it called?
And that's low key tripping.
Directed by Jay Ellis, aka Lawrence.
Stay that close. Your thing is being crazy. So
I heard it.
So Lynette.
What? Tripping. Low-key tripping.
High-key tripping. This was a good episode to me. But y'all know why I liked it.
Because Lawrence showed up at the end.
Lawrence and, you know I love Winnie B. Freaky Dinky.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to really like Asian Bae because he has so much patience.
Man. Oh, of a saint.
And I think that's sexy. How much patience he has.
But I think it's
because and understanding too.
He's really into her though.
Yeah.
He really like her. He showed her his love. So let's start this episode.
So let's talk about the brother.
We gotta start at the top. Who said we gotta talk about the brother?
Oh, I did.
Lynette.
We gonna get there. Lynette be loving to start at the end. Let's start at minute 55 of the episode.
That's the middle. The brother's the middle.
Well, I wanted. I'm down with starting at the top of the episode. I just wanted to talk about Molly's wig first.
Oops, which one?
Trash.
That wig was nice.
Which one?
I liked it too.
Oh no.
I did not like it.
I like the wavy water look.
I loved it. I was like, ooh.
Now y'all know I am a wig connoisseur, okay? And that wig was trash, okay? You can see, I mean, her stuff was not blended. It didn't, like, you could see that it was a wig. It looked like more of a hat than it was a wig. Like, when you have a closure or you have a silk closure or something like that, you got to blend that in, honey. Like, you can't let it be known that you have a wig on.
Okay, first of all, let me ask you a question. If you go on a vacation, a water vacation, you got to have your water wig. Y'all know I got a water wig.
And that's appropriate to have a wet wavy. I didn't have a problem with the wet wavy, but I had a problem with how it was blending. Like, it wasn't on her head. She was wearing it like a hat. Like, for real, she was. It was like lifting. It was lifting. Like, you can see you should never see where the wig meets the head. Like, but you knew.
It was there. She was wearing it like a baseball cap. Like a snapback.
Like a shower cap, honey. A bonnet.
It was horrible. It was painful. I was like, seriously? I was like,
And usually her stuff be good.
Yeah.
And I thought that they had improved because they keep getting rid of the, I think they keep rotating out the hairdressers and things with Molly. And I'm like, well, y'all need to bring somebody back because this episode wasn't it. It's like, I understand you're going on vacation with your boo. You're going to get your hair wet. You want to have something easy to pull off. At least, I mean, get some island braids or something. Like, don't.
That would have been cute.
Some long ones, some box braids, them long.
Lynette, that's what I want. Lynette, you know I want those passion twists. I want those passion twists. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lynette said she won't do it for me because it's COVID. So, whatever.
Didn't say that. I said that I would because you were quarantining yourself and you ain't been around nobody.
You said I could get latch hooks.
You can get latch hooks. Yes.
I'm getting latch.
You getting latch
hooks? I'm getting something.
You ain't getting nothing. Lynette, tell Tiff to get her hair. Shut up. Huh. Aaronette, let me see your hair.
I'm about to show you.
Aaronette is pulling out her hair out the bag right now. Okay. It looks like it's...
That's her passion twist.
That's nice.
That's her passion twist.
How many packs do you have to get? Six?
I don't know. I bought this online when the quarantine started. So
if you get it from Amazon, they have it in a pack of eight. I used about seven on my head, and I got a lot of hair.
Yeah, I think I got this. I got this on Amazon. That's exactly where I got this from.
You split the hair. Make sure when you twist it, split it.
What you mean?
Split the hair. Like, don't just put a piece in. Yeah, you take it apart. Trust me. Thank you, later.
Lessons on hair, y'all.
Yeah, we're doing a hair lesson. It's a hair tutorial, honey.
Right.
You can take one piece and take it apart. You'll thank me later.
Oh.
Shut the front door.
She's scared. Don't make her do it. Lynette, look how scared she is. Don't make her do it.
Are you doing it or somebody else is doing it?
Girl, I can't braid my hair.
Oh, well, they know what to do then.
Okay, I hope they do. She might charge me more because I thought it was already.
You shouldn't run out. I still have some left.
But it ain't loose.
I had some left over, so you shouldn't run out. But anyway, back to Insecure.
Okay.
Her wig was trash.
Minute one of this episode with Molly.
And her wig was trash.
And let's start here. Molly's at the Ethiopian restaurant. She sees Issa, and she stays. So she's not going to leave. She's like, oh, here we go. She was fully expecting to have the conversation, which is
her
interesting.
Her wig turned before her head, okay?
Her wig. Stop talking that woman's wig. Anyway, so Molly is ready to have a conversation. Issa sees her and turns around and leaves. Molly turns and sees Issa leaving, and I think she kind of felt a little bit hurt.
I don't agree. Because she saw her coming in. She saw her coming in, mm-hmm. instead of acknowledging her that she was coming, mm-hmm. she turns and pretends like she on the phone. So you really didn't even want to talk to her neither.
But she wanted her to talk to her because she said, oh, here she come.
Mm-hmm. And go turn, but acting like she was busy and she didn't see her. If you really wanted to have the conversation, acknowledge my presence so that I'll come in and feel welcome to come in. Mm.
Lynette, you are on fire tonight,
she's reading.
Okay?
I'm just sitting here. I guess Lynette's
giving a full session today. So Molly walks into her. Hold on, did you catch this? Molly walks into her house and Andrew is there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was at the house.
He had a key.
I mean, one day Dusty drew a key. I mean, might as well give Andrew a key.
I'm done. Dro did have a key. Oh gosh, I'm done.
She just gave that key to.
She gave him the same key. She erased Dro's name and put his name on it.
she tells him. Did she say musty nuts? I'm done.
She tells him. She told him she saw Issa, and he was like, "Oh, he was like, it's cool." And then they start talking about they packing for Mexico, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" I was so excited. I love vacation stuff. Like I mm-hmm. love beach. I love sun. I love sand. I love mm-hmm. bikini. Yes, I said bikini. I wear a bikini. Okay, so I was so excited. And so she has a last minute meeting and, you know, I don't know why this is significant, but it must be. Molly had to go into work. And when she was at work, she gave Karen the what for. She yelled at her assistant. I don't know why that's going to come back, but it is, y'all. I'm letting you know that's coming back. Why do you think that was significant?
Probably just
because
of the
way. Oh, sorry, I was talking. I was muted.
Why did she yell at her? I know, me too. I started talking too.
Because
why she yell at her again?
Karen.
She didn't get her the stuff soon enough.
Didn't email her properly when she got the meeting. So the meeting was already supposed to be already scheduled, but Karen forgot to email her about the meeting until like the night before.
Yep. Karen, your memory for this show is impeccable. Okay. Y'all need to hire Aaronette because she will
recap an event.
She can recap, honey. That was verbatim.
And it's like that's just a fact. It's like that girl made her look dumb. And it's like, and Molly is, you know, she's trying to like get her professionalism up with the other spot. But yeah, it is going to come back. It is. I don't know how, but I don't think it's going to be necessarily good for Molly once she comes back from vacation with her assistant.
That might be what happens. Yeah, because I know that means something. I just don't know what yet. So they're running through the airport and Molly, I know we heard it. Molly's running through the airport in her Olivia Pope white. Somebody said that I died. I'm done. So they get on the flight, and then I guess they got Economy Plus, which sounds fancy to me because I only fly Southwest, and I fly big girl status on Southwest, so I really don't know much about flying other than I always get an extra seat. Okay, so they got economy plus, and they got some drinks, and they got a blanket, and then Tootie was sitting across the aisle talking about her life, and I was all about it. Tootie, I mean, that was a really nice cameo.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was real funny. And then Andrew finger pops Molly underneath the blanket on the airplane. They was finger popping. My friend told me one time on a flight from California to New York, where she lives, she finger popped herself. But that's her. That's her style. That's her style. If she ever listens to that, she would be proud. She'd be like, that's what's up. She'd be real proud. Why? Lynette is done.
No.
She did. So I think that does qualify them for the Mile High Club. So congratulations, Molly, on making it to Mile.
Side note about the airplane. The lady that was taking the ticket lady before they got on the plane was Jay Ellis's mom.
What?
Yep.
Nice.
So that flight attendant lady that was before they got on the plane was his mother. And then the dude that is serving them drinks with the hair pulled back, that's the writer of the episode, Jason.
Oh, nice insider info tip. Tips our Hollywood insider tip lives in Cali. So,
Cali.
Okay, Lynette, you're up. Get ready. We're about to talk about the brother. So, eye roll. So, I kind of like the wife. I like that wife. I think she's cute.
She was doing too much.
That was his wife.
That was his wife, and she was doing too much. I'm like, girl, calm down.
She was sweet.
She was extra sweet, okay? She was doing team too much. I wanted her to calm down. I wanted her to draw it in, bring it in, because she was just too hyper for me. Like, we've had this conversation before, Kaveh. You have a hyper that's like, it's engaging. It's like, it brings energy to the room. Her hyperness was annoying. It was like, woe is me. I need attention. So let me deflect. That type of energy. And I hated it. I wanted her to be quiet.
I have a tough time with anybody who talks about people's bodies the first second they meet them. That's challenging for me. And as a body positive advocate, I did not appreciate that. Don't say nothing about my body.
For what? I'm just gonna think that you have a better body than me, so I'm just gonna, girl, shut up. What is this? Why are we talking about this right now?
I mean, you don't need to call you. First of all, love your body. Love your body. Okay? Just love your body.
At this point, she was fishing for a comment. A compliment, rather.
She did.
She was fishing. Stop fishing. There's no fish in the sea, okay?
Every single one of us got a bikini. And by society standards, we don't have bikini bodies. But last time I checked, if you put a bikini on your body, it's a bikini body. Okay?
Bleep. Pretty poo.
Bleep. And I look good in the two-piece. Okay? Ask any. Okay, so you almost had me start cussing. Okay? Okay? All right. So, Andrew's brother has a schedule. And I wanted Boba to be on the call for this so bad. Because we got a friend. We got a friend.
I got me with y'all and I know about the schedule.
You know about the schedule. Lynette, do you know about my schedule when I go on trips with my friends? Honey, I got a friend. He lived for a schedule. I hope he hear this episode because you wanna know what? I appreciate a schedule. I appreciate it. We didn't travel internationally together. And I like a schedule. I like to know when I'm having afternoon tea, okay? When I'm in London, I like to know that I'm going to the Shard on Friday at 5, okay? I appreciate it. But sometimes when you got a friend that got a schedule, you be real nervous, though. Because if you mess up the schedule, they will cuss you out. Okay? When you with friends that got the schedule, they get real tight about it.
I don't like schedules.
I could imagine Lynette being tight about the schedule.
I don't want to be bothered.
Lynette, you tight about the schedule? No. But Aaronette is...
No, I'm good. I'm good. Like, if it's something that we can, like... I mean, I like schedules. I like knowing what I'm going to do. But at the same time, I like a little free if I want to do something else. You know, I don't want to be bound to one, but I like to know that I have options.
Yeah, I like options. Aaronette is probably one of the best travel companions because she will do whatever. You'll be like, all right, we going to this mud wrestling tournament at 10 o'clock. You going? She'd be like, yeah, I'm there. Yeah. And then you're like, Aaronette,
I'm cool. You got to with the flow.
You got to wrestle to get us in. Aaronette like, yep. Okay, I'm in. Okay. I'm like, Aaronette.
You about to go to the spa in Atlanta. You down? That's, I ain't never been there, but.
Yep.
Wait, none of us had ever been. So we all were like, wait, we got to do what? With what? That's a whole episode, though. We need to go into detail about our first time we went to the spa. Woo! Body positive, honey.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, honey.
Very much.
Wait, I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, my goodness.
The schedule. But, his brother and the schedule.
Woo! A schedule. But I love a schedule. If I go on a trip with somebody, I want them to have a schedule. Because it takes the pressure off of you planning things. But then you also have to know when you can do stuff and when you can't. Because not everybody can hit every single event. Some people are not. They're not brave enough. They're not Braveheart.
I can't. It makes my anxiety go up. It's like, just tell me if we're doing breakfast together or dinner together. But it's like to have it play by play. And then we have like 1 hour of downtime. This wasn't a vacation. This was a scheduled outing. Like
Tiff is tough with a schedule because Tiff needs at least 6 to 8 naps during the day. So if she's not getting her required 6 to 8, then it's a wrap. So
is it a fucking wrap? I mean,
we're like, we got bingo at 6. Tiff is like, if I can't get a nap before bingo, then I'm sleeping in the car and I'm not going to bingo. Like, calm down, Tiff. Calm down, Tiff. Jeez.
Wow.
But they didn't go. They just chilled. They just stayed in the room and hung out. So
I like that.
Not every time you have to, you know what I'm saying? You gotta do a schedule. Not unless you in a wedding party.
But. Right. Well, I mean, speaking of hanging out, they both were alluding to bringing things for the trip. They were like, she was like, I brought some things for the trip. And he was like, I brought some things for the trip too. And she was like, I brought some really freaky things for the trip. And he was like, all right, let's see, girl, let me see what you brought. And she pulled out some bra and panties and some oil. And he was like, oh, he was real stressed. He was like, okay. And then he pulled out what he brought, and he brought the Lilo 720, the pink edition, 2 sets of Benoit balls and a butt plug. And I was like, that's it? You know, I was like, what else
I'm
is
done. I'm hanging out. that was enough for her. She was like, wait a minute. And she gonna say, I should have brought that feather.
Stop! Stop!
She was like, I should have brought that feather. And it was on sale. I'm like, a feather? Molly ain't no freak. Molly a freak when she's dealing with a married man. But she ain't no freak when she in a relationship.
See, I didn't understand that. I was surprised. She was giving me very much Carrie Bradshaw vibes. Like, everybody knows Sex in the City was all about Carrie Bradshaw, but Carrie was not the real freak of the show.
No, it was Samantha.
I was always expecting Carrie to step up her game, but she never did. She never gave me Samantha.
Ron, always.
Uh-huh. I didn't think Carrie was the freak. I just thought she was like a serial monogamist. Like, she had to be in right? Am I saying that right? She had to be in a...
You are. You're right. Carrie was... We cannot... Aaronette, we cannot go down no Carrie Bradshaw rabbit hole.
Listen.
Because you know we are Sex in the City super fans. We will never get out. We will never get out.
After Insecure, I'm down to start at season one. I'm just saying.
I am too.
Let's do it.
We can do it. Lynette, where you at? Season one.
Lynette ain't never watched Sex and the City.
But yeah, but just, I thought.
Jesus. Lynette's a Charlotte.
Lynette is totally Charlotte.
Like, Lynette is such a Charlotte. I think
Lynette got some undercover Samantha in her. She's going to tell you all business. She just going to leave it in the bedroom between her and her boo.
I'm sorry. Lynette is a total Charlotte.
She's a Charlotte in the streets, but a Samantha in the sheets.
Absolutely not. See, she ain't responding. Don't thumbs up that. Do not thumbs up that. I'm done. But Molly.
Shout out to the Mirandas.
Oh.
Shout out to the Mirandas.
Tiff is clearly a Miranda.
Shut up.
Tiff's a Miranda during the softball game when she dated that. Oh, gosh. Never mind. See? Rabbit hole. Okay. So I just want to talk a little bit about those sex toys. I was stressed out because I did not think those were very good sex toys. Even I was like, okay, basic. Or what did you think? Was that good? Like, was that like, whoa, or was that basic?
I think for your first time that I think it would be okay. You're trying something different with your partner, with your new boo. You know what I'm saying? I would say...
See, all y'all, see, married people to get on my nerve. Oh my goodness. So,
well, I ain't even.
married lady. No, I just thought that I was surprised. I just was like, wow. Molly just really shocked me. What am I seeing? Okay. So,
I'm so done with you.
So he said, I like it when my girl takes charge. And then they ended up getting it on the balcony. Because she said she liked a little bit of public frolicking. I was like, okay, get it, Molly. So Andrew looked like he real strong.
No, you don't.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he looked kind of strong and like he maybe work out a little bit. I don't know. I feel like maybe he got like a nice, don't he got some tattoos? His arm looked a little bit strong. I don't know. I got nervous.
Yes,
he
has amazing tattoos. I love his tattoos.
Uh-oh. Okay. Tiff's into it. Yikes. So, Lynette's nodding. Okay. So she's into it too, I guess. I don't know.
Thumbs up.
Into what? What I miss?
Andrew, do you think Andrew's cute?
Andrew Bay.
Yeah, he all right.
I think I would be right now at this point in my life if Andrew showed up and was like giving me all that attention and loving on me like he love on Molly. Forget about it. I'd be like, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I was like, all right, it's over.
He got that forever kind of love. You know what I mean?
He like, do. But, oh my gosh, if him and Molly break up, that's going to be a good episode. Oh, Erinette eating popcorn, y'all. She choked. Cough it up, please. Dang.
Put a choking on popcorn.
Erinette, stop. Spit it out. You're choking on popcorn.
One time, Erinette. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Well, she allowed to eat whatever she wants. She's like 12 months pregnant, so she okay.
Shut up.
Yeah. So at this point, they go downstairs and the next morning they meet Victor and Leah for a walk, a little 3 mile hike. And would I have gone the 3 mile hike? I think I would go.
But I mean, if I were in better physical shape, yeah. It's like, yeah. Cause right now it'd be
Tiff would be at like
a wrap.
Mile one. She'd be like, all right, y'all. Y'all gonna have to meet me at the bottom. So they end up zip lining, they have a good time, they have couples dinner, there's some dancing. Then
Andrew gets a call and Nathan's in the background. Andrew gets a call from Nathan. Nathan is saying he's stuck in a garage. I was like, what is going on at the house? And Molly hears Issa in the garage and she's like, up to her old shenanigans. And then this is when Andrew gives us some insight on something that we've all been wondering, which is what happened to Nathan? And it turns out that Nathan was dealing with well, we don't know if it was severe. Well, clearly it was severe enough that he didn't call her back, but he was dealing with some mental illness, dealing with his mental health. And I think that's important that the way that he handled it, because he was like, you know what? It's not my job to tell Issa. It's not your job to tell Issa, but I'm telling you because you're my girl and we can talk about this, but I don't know.
I could see Molly being Molly maybe in like another episode or maybe even on the finale, trying to be messy and coming back and saying something to her, to Issa about it. I mean, because we're on what, episode 7? I could see episode 9, something happening there.
Molly, you think so?
I don't think Molly, I think Molly is, because she knows better, she's trying to do better. I think after this, she's trying to change her ways a little bit. So, because she is so focused on, and this is my thing, I don't know, she may turn around and do something crazy, but it's like, I feel like, especially because after she had that whole view or discussion about the towel incident and waking up the next morning and talking to Andrew about it, and Andrew came back, she woke up and was like, dag, did he like, where's he at, did he leave? She woke up to an empty bed, but he came back. So I think that probably some perspective on her, like, okay, maybe I am messing up stuff and I need to check myself, because she called him up a message for her therapist.
Lynette, Aaronette, you just ran through the whole episode. I just want you to know that, like a recap, because Aaronette, the human recap machine, ran through the whole episode in one breath. It took me half an hour. Aaronette was like, but let's go there for a second. So Molly and Andrew are back in the hotel room, and after they get back from the dancing, Molly put on her sexy lingerie, and then were we skipping this part?
No, we can go.
What part I'm talking about?
The pool.
No, before they went to the pool, the night
we,
the booty where she sat on his face.
Oh, when she sat on his face. Okay, yes. But I like the fact that she asked him. You know, there was consent there. You know? I was like, okay. I appreciate that.
He tossed her salad, and that was gross.
So you said it was... Well, it's gross, but they had showered, so it was fine. It was safe.
Sure.
Oh, my.
But I was nervous because they had just eaten Mexican food. So I was nervous. I did. I was like, wow, this is a twist.
I can't. Y'all too much.
Mexican food.
I did like that dress she had on, though. I said, I need to get me one of them. I need to strengthen my back
that
up
orange
a little
one?
Bit. Yeah, I
that
like that
orange
dress.
One? Yeah, that was cute.
That was real cute. So here we go. Let's go. The towel incident. So they're in the pool, having a good time. Leah gets splashed in the eye with water, and Molly's like, oh, I'll get you a towel, no biggie. And so she goes to get the towel. At this point, I know for a fact, if I was there, this would happen to me. I know it. I see the couple in front of me go get a towel. Nobody says anything. Then I want to get a towel, and it is a whole situation.
Mm-hmm. She didn't overreact.
She did not overreact.
You don't think she overreacted?
You think she did?
No, I'm asking.
I do not. Because you know
that would be my reaction as well. Like,
it would have been
me too. Like, I'm, how you, when you at a resort, okay, I've been to a resort. When you at a resort, you, they, some of these resorts don't have, like, key cards or whatever. Or if they do, you are, you, they know you are, what am I trying to say? A resident there, mm-hmm. or you're a customer there because you're inside the resort. They not just let anybody right. in to get a towel. And exactly. then you can't go on other parts. Like, a resort owns part of a beach. You can't walk down to another part of the beach and go on to a resort and yep. be like, let me get the towel.
Yep. So, yeah, I thought that that was just, I definitely would have reacted similarly. And I'm happy that Victor was there to show his key card. But I also don't think that once they get back in the pool, Victor has some words to say about it. Mm. And I just think that whole situation was just off.
Yeah.
But like they're just meeting. They're just meeting each other. So I don't think that type of conversation was the place for them because they don't know each other in that way. Mm. Or have, you know what I mean? Like, this is the first time you meet me and you want to talk to me about racial issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you would never understand being a Black woman in America. He'll never understand it. It's just a walk that he will never understand. Yeah, you may be Asian, but even still, you still have some privileges that a Black woman will never have. Mm-hmm. So this conversation should have never happened. So I, for once, I was with Molly for once.
And I just felt he was enjoying the conversation. And that's a privilege in itself, is being able to be like, no, this is a good conversation. This is fun, us talking about how uh-huh. you're perceiving things. And I was like, no, she's really upset. You know, I don't think that was the time. I don't think it was the place. I don't think it was the context. It was just a bad situation.
He was making light of it. Yeah, like, it's just another
woman really didn't know each other well enough to really be having that kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not a whim of the mill conversation. It was more, it was in depth. It was a deep conversation that, you know, that's what, something that she would have a conversation with Issa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a random
conversation. Is like, I feel like that conversation is something that you would have in trusted company. And it's like, and if she was going to have that conversation with Andrew, it'd be with Andrew and Nathan and Molly and Kelly and them. Like, I feel like it'd be a group conversation with people that they trust about it. And it's like, not saying that she don't trust his brother. She just don't know him like that to be having that conversation. And he was having too much fun with it. It's like, this isn't fun.
Mm-hmm. So, Molly and Andrew go back to the room. They wake up, and like Aaron was saying, the next morning she woke up to a bed alone. And at this point, she goes and she calls her therapist. And this means something because she must not have had a session in a while.
I don't think she had one since last season. What's her name? Dr. Brown?
Dr. Rhonda.
Dr. Rhonda. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen Dr. Rhonda since last season.
Yeah, the beginning of last season. Yeah, I mean, exactly. We haven't seen her in a while. And therapy is, I mean, I'm a therapist. And therapy is important. And I definitely think that sometimes Molly is somebody that probably thinks, you know, oh, I don't need it right now. And you know what? Sometimes you don't need it. But I think that she's been kind of having some difficult moments. And I was proud of her.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In that moment, that was good on her part to initiate that, because mm-hmm. that's her right there saying, okay, you know, I need help. Mm-hmm. And right there, that's half the battle. It's just saying that, okay, I need, you know, I can use some help. So yeah, I appreciate that. It was, especially within the Black community, you know, you just need Jesus.
But God's, I think I said this before, God helped those who help themselves. So it's like, mm-hmm. he is always there for us. But at the same time, you have to find like another, you have to find that source that can help you with those that, those mental challenges.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm so sanctified and filled, and I see a therapist every year.
All right now.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that my pastor even has been talking about people seeking out mental health during this time. I think that this time has been very challenging for a lot of people, and I'm happy that they're saying that this is an option. Whereas before, it kind of didn't feel like it was an option. It felt like if you go to therapy, like you're doing the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, which is just praying that things work out, you know. And I like the mm-hmm. fact that they're saying, no, pray that things get better, but you also have to do the work. You have to go get see a therapist. You have to, you know, work mm-hmm. on that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so sidebar, I'm going to give credit to Molly. So y'all write this down in the books because this probably won't happen again.
Ooh.
But I give credit to her because she's showing actual growth as opposed to what Issa did in her episode, trying to prove to people what she does that is not true of what is about her. And Molly's realizing that what she said about her was true and she's trying to fix it.
Lynette, I'm going to say it again. You were on a full-time read today. Yes. You was watching these episodes.
The read is deep and real.
I know, Lynette. You're nailing it. Lynette and Aaronette, queens. Okay. I will be a backup dancer. I'm fine with that. Tiffany is not even in the group. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know I keep coming for you. You're kind of like Murr from on Impractical Jokers. Like they always pick on Murr. Like they make him eat a bag of his own pubic hair or something like that. You know, you're kind of like the Murr of the group.
I won't pick on you, Tiff.
Okay. So at this point, Molly and Asian Bay kind of talk through things, and he says his brother, you know, apologizes, and things kind of work themselves out. They get back on the airplane, they get back, they land in LAX, they hop off a plane in LAX, and they're, am I going to have to pay for that, Tiff? Am I going to have to pay for that?
No. Nah.
I just
It's a cover.
It's a cover, oh, okay, okay. So, Andrew and Molly kind of talk and you know, Aaron, what happened at this point? They get off the airplane.
Yes, they're at the baggage claim. They get off the plane.
They notice homegirl. What was her name?
Mabel. Oh, Mabel. They saw Mabel.
They noticed Mabel, who was divorced. She gave this man 25 years, and she's taking every year back one day at a time. She's sucking down somebody's. Sucking down the new man in the airport when they land at LAX.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they pan
unless
over.
Unless that's the husband.
That's what I thought. I thought that might be the husband.
Oh,
I was like, is that the husband? That too. But I hope it
was. She was there by herself.
And they made it sound like that was a new guy. They were like, oh, I see her. I see you, Mabel. You know, like.
Yes.
So I'm with Aaron.
That was her husband.
Then she sees Lawrence, and that was I guess I don't know, because she seemed like she was happy to see Lawrence, but I don't understand like her.
Lawrence was off.
But what? But I don't understand. Explain this to me. Mm. Why is she okay with Lawrence, but not okay with Issa?
She's not okay with Issa and Lawrence.
Mm.
What you mean, like them being a couple?
Yes. That whole situation, the Issa Lawrence thing. I don't think she has a problem with him individually though.
Okay.
Yeah.
She seemed real like chummy to him.
She always has. Like she went out to the job for Molly and checked in with him and you know pretended like she was out there so she could catch him. But I don't know. I think they definitely have like a weird dynamic, but that's because they've known each other for so long. They've been
like
in each other.
She pulled it Saved by the Bell and he had no clue.
No, not Saved by the Bell. Full House.
Full House, I'm sorry.
Stephanie Tanner. Got it, dude.
That was Tiff's favorite show.
It's a bad impression anyway.
It was one of those shows.
Yes. So, at this point, Molly has some decisions to make. She's got to decide if she's going to be the bigger person and call Issa, or if she's just going to wait it out. And we'll have to see what happens next. But as Lawrence was walking out the door, so this is what's happening now. The episodes are connecting.
They are. And I'm loving it.
So,
but you notice, mm-hmm. It's like, it's never like, because back, usually that when you're doing reflections of different people and their character and what they're doing now, it's never, it's always at the same time frame, but it's like not at the same time frame, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like, okay, we're done with their story. Now we're connecting to this one. We're done with their story. Right. Now we're connecting to this one. And I think that's pretty cool.
I love that.
Yes. I like how you explain that, because it's like, it's not, they're not,
it's like they're passing the baton.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I really think that with like Lawrence, I feel like they're going to follow him next from where, because he said he was in Fresno where he was coming from, and then up to that point of him talking to Frisco, whatever. What did I say?
Fresno. Same place. Wait, okay, here's my two questions. I got one question. Who was on the phone with Lawrence? Tiff, who was on the phone? It is not your turn. Tiff, who was on the phone with Lawrence?
Condola.
Tiff's Condola? Aaronette.
It was Issa.
Lynette.
Issa.
Okay. I don't know.
Think about when Issa at the beginning of the season was like, you know what, I don't really F with Molly no more. And we didn't expect it to be Nathan. So, so I'm just thinking like, well, we expect to be being with Issa, but do we know if it was Issa?
I'm kind of using context clues based off of the next episode.
Well, I didn't see the next episode's trailer, so I didn't watch it yet. So I'm excited to see it.
But, I saw it too.
So, y'all know I don't like a spoiler.
So it alerts to it being Issa. Like he's been trying to talk to her. Every time that they see each other, he's trying to tell her something, and they get interrupted. So.
Well, I like we kind of were talking about possibilities of why was he visiting Fresno / Frisco, and I think it was for a job. And then Lynette was like, "Yeah, remember, Lynette?" Lynette was like,
"I think it's a job opportunity in another area."
Yes,
totally. Yes, he's about to leave. Crazy.
Is he gonna leave the show?
No.
Is it going to be one of those days that Issa runs to him at the airport and tells him not to leave and he decides to stay for her?
I don't know.
She encourages him to take the job, but he's wanting her to tell him to stay?
Probably. That sounds about right.
That's crazy. Y'all just got the like beginning of the end of this season, beginning of season 5.
What?
Like that's what's gonna happen at the end of this season.
Beginning of season 5. Oh my goodness. So any predictions for the next episode? What do you think is gonna happen?
Well, of course, I think they're gonna try to engage in the conversation that they've been trying to have.
Yeah.
But I think that something's gonna happen and Morris is gonna chicken out to actually express how he feels again.
I don't know. I really think Lawrence is going to be able to sit down and talk to her about what he was trying to tell her at Tiffany's, that he and Condola are no longer together. And
it's because of her.
But no, that he messed up, though, that he wished he would have stayed and tried, because I'm going back to when they were at Tiffany's after, you know, seeing the baby and everything, and he was having that heart to heart with Derek, and he was like, man, you, Derek was like, you just got to make it work. We didn't plan the baby, but we just gonna make it work. And that just, I felt like that resonated with Lawrence as far as him and Issa.
Okay, here's my question. Here's my question. What if Tiff is right about Condola being pregnant?
I was, man, I don't know. I said he was raw dogging a lot, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think that, I don't.
Condola wasn't the cutest thing ever, so that'd be a funny looking baby.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. That baby would come out with a ponytail in his hair. What?
Those ponytails. Those ponytails are just as bad as Molly's wigs.
Lynette, you gotta do a lesson on how to slick it down. She didn't know how to do a slick down ponytail.
No, it was like she had a snake in her head every episode. It was just like another way of putting it up. Like each time, it was the same ponytail, just pinned differently.
Right.
But that she was trying to tell you about a style. She was like, look. You can do it with one piece. I appreciate it.
She once you have it hanging, the next she flipped it around her head. Oh. The next time she put a bun in it. It was just like, leave it, let it go.
Coming for her. Stop.
Let it go, honey. It's not working.
Oh my God.
Whoever
gosh.
Is the hairstylist should be fired.
Oh, okay, Lynette.
Even to Issa's hair, like her natural hairstyles. I'm like, they are so played out and old. Like, why? Who keeps doing this to them?
Oh, my God.
I was offended. I was offended. As a hairstylist, I was offended. Like, come on. And I love natural hair, and there's a lot of natural hairstyles, and those were not it.
Has everybody on the call got their two strand twists in?
Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, boop, boop. All right.
I got my last shirts. So.
That's because you know how to do hair. Okay, we're not talking about this. All right. Any final words, Erinette?
I'm ready for Lawrence to like man up as far as like him apologizing and saying, you know what? Well, because she did apologize. She was sorry, but him manning up and was like, you know what? I should have stayed. I should have tried to make it work versus just cutting and running at the first sign of trouble, you know, because she was down for him for a long time. So now he coming up and maybe he just realized, I'm like, okay, maybe it has been Issa this whole time. So I'm waiting to see what he's going to say to her. I'm hoping that he don't chicken out like Lynette said.
Lynette?
I'm looking forward to him finally just saying something, like, just say it already. Like, I don't know. And I'm kind of, I don't know how Issa's going to respond. Is Issa going to respond how Issa usually responds, or she's going to respond in a different way?
Okay.
Because old Issa would check it out and not say nothing, or just brush it off or whatever, saying if he actually does, you know, express how he feels, if that's what the conversation will be. Or will she be honest with herself and say that she really still cares for him and really wants to be with him? And
okay.
Be honest, open and honest about it. We'll see, though. Who knows?
Tiffany?
Yo, so I hope that I'm on the same track as Lynette. I hope that Issa can be honest in the conversation that she has with Lawrence. I feel like that she has done some growing up. But I do think that when it comes to Lawrence, I still think that there's kind of a super soft spot, as there should be when you've dated someone for, 5-6 years. So I don't know if they'll necessarily get back together. But I do think that the conversation will be serious enough, and I think that they will consider something. So...
All right. Well, I will tell you what I'm looking for. I hope when I turn on the episode, it says that there will be nudity. All right.
Oh, so, you're fired.
All right. So I thank everybody for listening. If you like this podcast, please click 5 stars. Just click it. Just click it. Put your finger like click, click. 5 stars. Just give it 5 stars. Even if you only like it 1 star, please give it 5 stars. So more people can come
and give it 5 stars, okay? Like and subscribe, tell your friends, share the podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and I really thank you guys for doing this podcast with me, as always.
Thank you. This is awesome, guys. Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.